welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mike.
So this is a poem this week that deals with heart failure. Heart failure, that is a common clinical syndrome. It results from any structural or functional cardiac disorder that impairs the ability of the ventricle to pump, that is, to fill and then eject blood. Heart failure can be caused by diseases of the heart muscle itself, the myocardium. It can be caused by pericardial disease and endocardial disease and valvular disease and vascular disease, and certainly by metabolic problems as well. Heart failure with preserved ejection fraction is often abbreviated as HFPEF. It is a clinical syndrome in which patients have symptoms and signs of heart failure, but near or very close to normal ventricular ejection fractions, usually above 50%. Most patients with this preserved ejection fraction also display a normal left ventricular volumes and evidence of diastolic dysfunction, that is, abnormal patterns of left ventricular filling and elevated filling pressures. By contrast, ready, heart failure with a reduced ejection fraction, abbreviated HFREF, is characterized by increased left ventricular volumes and reduced ejection fraction. All of this stuff is interesting, but it really is important from a clinical perspective. You found a poem published in Circulation the end of 2018. It asks the question, which patients with unexplained dyspnea are more likely to have heart failure with preserved ejection fraction as the cause? So these patients have unexplained shortness of breath. How do we approach this? Mark, what did the research find?
Yeah, this was a Mayo Clinic study, and they were looking for a way to use the clinical exam and the echo to try to confirm diastolic dysfunction, or what we call, HFPEF, heart failure with preserved ejection fraction, without having to do invasive testing, more invasive testing. So the right side, the reference standard for this study was a right-sided coronary cath. And then they measured pressures at rest and during exercise if necessary. So that was a gold standard. What they're trying to say was, you know, who really needs that very invasive test? Can we rule out this diastolic heart failure, this HFPEF, I'm going to call it. I'm going to start a new thing, call it HFPEF, for a lot of patients. So they looked at, they did an extensive chart review, but they did a really good chart review in that they had a couple of investigators looking at each chart. They had clear definitions, and the kind of things they were abstracting from the medical record are pretty unambiguous. So there were 414 patients, two-thirds of whom had HFPEF. The validation population that they tested their model in was another 100 patients in the same center. They identified a simple point score to predict this HFPEF. The independent predictors that they found were a BMI over 30, which was 2 points, taking two or more antihypertensives, which was 1 point, history of paroxysmal or persistent atrial fib, 3 points, and a Doppler echo with pulmonary artery systolic pressure greater than 35, age 60 or older, and a Doppler echo showing an E to E ratio of more than 9. So in the validation group, what they found was that the likelihood of having this heart failure with preserved ejection fraction was 0% if they had 0 points and 90% with at least 6 points. So they suggest, bottom line, that we can use this clinical score to help target the coronary cath on the patients most likely to have an abnormality. They say that you can rule it out if patients have 0 or 1 points. You can rule it in if they have 5 or more points, and that you only need further testing if you're in between that, you know, 2 to 5 point range. So I thought it was clinically useful stuff. If you have that patient with unexplained dyspnea, their echo has a normal ejection fraction, but you're thinking about HFPEF, trying to decide whether they need a cath, this can be helpful to you.
So it sounds, Mark, like this this prediction rule is going to be quite helpful. Is this more academic, or is this something that actually has some clinical relevance?
Well, you know, I think it depends, I guess, in part on your setting. So if I'm a primary care physician evaluating one of my patients or an ER physician, this can be helpful in terms of, in a very simple way, just needing an echo, a non-invasive study, and a little history, figuring out who can we rule out this diagnosis in and not have to worry about further testing, as well as who can we rule it in and start treatment, and then hopefully limit the number of patients that need a subsequent invasive test. I mean, it's been, you know, validated in new patients. It would be ideal to see it validated in another setting, but I think this is, you know, this is a pretty convincing study in terms of, you know, being able to identify a subset who don't need that further testing.
So just to put this in perspective, a patient comes in and they've got this unexplained dyspnea. Clearly, one needs to rule out other causes before one proceeds down this route. But what you're suggesting is that once you've ruled out other common causes of dyspnea, once you get to the cardiac branch of the algorithm, this is a much more helpful approach than just sort of shotgunning it and going with invasive testing.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Look forward to it.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.